We've been going through the psalms that are called songs of ascents, which pick up from Psalm 119 and Psalm 120 and go through Psalm 135. And tonight we're going to look at Psalm 127. So if you'll turn to that, Psalm 127. Let's read it. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil. For so he gives unto his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of Jehovah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, and they shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. This is a psalm which teaches a powerful lesson, which on the surface might seem to be a commonplace lesson. I mean, the lesson is a common one throughout Scripture. God is in control of all things. And then there are things that follow directly from that. In this particular case, though, these lessons are made particularly strongly. The word vain, or that is without purpose, is used twice in adjacent analogies. Unless Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. And then here we have, it is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late. So what is so important here that we should see the vanity of doing? And it seems like he's saying, well, ordinary prudence is in vain. That would be the first takeaway. I don't believe he's saying that at all, but he's making the statement so strongly so that we will begin to get the notion of what he is saying. The first thing clearly that he's saying is that Jehovah, only Jehovah, gives, creates, and preserves. And he wants us to understand this. Only God. Only God gives, creates, and preserves. The targets here, we need to understand. Old Testament terminology, we have the nation of Israel comprised of little city-states, kind of like, and within that, families that are descended directly from Abraham. And so these families are very, very important. And so we have all of that imagery being invoked here. A city being protected, a family being built. All that imagery now, which is strictly physical, can be applied directly spiritually. But at the same time, we need to understand we have the physical included in that. So what he's basically saying is that here you are, if you are attempting to do, to create family, career, spiritual life, a church, that's the equivalent of the city or the state, any one of those things being attempted with utmost vigor without the Lord, there will be no result. The tragedy here is that for each of us who have attempted these things in the flesh, it sure looks like there's a result, doesn't it? You know, when I work long hours, things happen. You know, there's work output. We have to hear what this is saying. In the long run, this is counterproductive. That's what's being said here. You try to do this your way, in the long run, it is counterproductive. And hopefully, you have seen that in your own life. If I'm doing this, and I'm doing that in the flesh, or for my own reasons, or my own ways, it may look for a while like it's going okay. In the long run, the Scriptures say, and it's a fact, it's for nothing. I mean, we'll use the example of the woman who just desperately wants to be married. And she does this and this and this and this. And then even if she succeeds, what does the resultant marriage look like? For the man who desperately wants a career, and he'll work every waking moment to make this job he's got now better or bigger or find the job. Or what is the result? If what you want is this thing only, the Lord, if you're a believer, the Lord will blight it. He just will. So the second point then to be made, not only can these things only be done in the Lord, but attempts to create, protect, in anxiety and isolation from God will fail. And these attempts are sinful. These attempts are sinful. They are, in fact, classic coveting. God has put me here with this big a purview. I'm saying, oh, it's got to be this big. That's the definition of coveting. That is what is being said here. When I'm saying, I got to have this, and He's put you here, that's coveting. When it involves a large area of your life, that's not an incidental sin. We all sin by surprisal. In the situation, we are surprised by sin. These things are life situations, large areas of life. If we are carrying them out in this covetous manner, that's called being under the dominion of sin in a particular area. And God will not have that, and the whole spiritual enterprise is blighted. So it's not just the outcome, it's me. I would say in general, so often for a woman, it may be marriage. For a man, it's a job. The same principle can hold true with a pastor attempting to build a church. I'm going to make this happen. You know, I'm going to do spiritual things. I'm going to work really hard. All the same kind of thing. And what's so interesting is if you would just read this psalm casually, the first and last half of it don't match. I mean, yes, he's talking about building, and the one is kind of more city-ish and the other more family. And lots and lots of quote-unquote principles have been made out of the second half here. Here's what I think is going on. The second half is a picture of God-given contentment. Here is the man. He is going to build this whatever, career, city, whatever. And in his mind, his family is behind all of it. I'm going to do this thing. And yes, for my family, it's for my posterity. And what the Lord says is, just keep it in bounds. I'm the one who gives all these things that you say you're doing it for. I'm the one who gives that. Now here's the picture of that. And here, let me tell you what this is about. If you read it this way, he says, lo, children are a heritage of Jehovah. Not cities and jobs and... See? Children are a heritage of Jehovah. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. That's His counterweight to all the first out-of-balance stuff. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. You want power your way? Here's what God gives. God gives contentment in a family. In bounds of a life that is under control in the Lord's hands. That, frankly, that is as hard a job as I know of. Because it looks like the direct method to that is this working, 23 hours a day to provide for my family. And that's not what the picture here. The picture here is understanding what this sphere is that the Lord is giving. What is the boundaries that God is giving me? And not attempting to myself make them bigger. That is not an easy thing to define, but that is our job. And that doesn't mean that we try to find a job that's 6 hours a day so that we can be with our families all the time. Jonathan Edwards said, my normal workday is 13 hours, 6 days a week. And then, and in and around and through that, he kept his family. So I'm not trying to say that that means we don't work hard. Believers have the responsibility to work extremely hard at God-given tasks. So I'm not trying to say pull back. But I am trying to say this sinful expansion. And if you ask the Lord, you will find what is where you are and what is the sinful expansion. And then we see in verse 5, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Abraham had one child, right? Isaac had two. The quiver, the size of the quiver is not the principle here. The point is the contentment that the Lord gives here in the main sphere that God has given to believers. So, the picture of contentment in this psalm is the house that Jehovah builds. That's what we should each be seeking for as believers. And so in pursuing that, the question that I would say we each need to be asking, and let me ask you, are you asking it? What is the Lord giving? What is the Lord giving? If you haven't asked that question, you very much need to ask that question.
am I just in I'm going to take mode? I'm going to make this happen mode? Or am I saying, what providentially is the Lord laying in front of me? Now, that's not to say that it may not be very, very arduous. But once you understand that it's the Lord giving it, now you can do it in contentment, put all the other things into the mix properly. And until then, the anxiety of, I am creating this, will mess it all up. So you need to be asking, what is the Lord giving? And then with that, there may be expansion that is needed, that can be looked for, can be prayed for. That's not to say that it has to be static. When that question is asked, it leaves room for changes of necessity, especially if the question has not been being asked. But the question must be asked by the believer. Contentment is impossible without it. Where has God planted me? That every believer has to ask that question. Did I just kind of plop myself someplace and say, oh, here I am, I'm going to go do this thing? Or is it clear that God has led me to this place, and then you put down roots and you stay there till He uproots you? That's the biblical principle. You stay there till He uproots you. And you can say, I need to be content within this sphere that He's given me. And it's a blessing. It may be difficult, but it's a blessing. The parallel to this sinful anxiety for those who are not believers is looking at the believer who is looking at this life in the wrong way is seeing it me and not God. The unbeliever who is beginning to seek the Lord, the parallel to that is, I want to be saved as opposed to seeing oneself as a sinner. The publican who said, God be merciful to me, the sinner, was not focusing on himself. He was focusing on God. He said, God, I have a sight of you that says that I am wicked. But the sight was of God. The one who says, I want to be saved from hell, basically, at that point, is still got the view of self as the believer who is saying, I want this job, I want this house, I want this whatever. That's the parallel. May the Lord give us grace to see how central He absolutely will make Himself in these.